Here is Debbie T. from San Diego.
Oh, my God.
You're all right.
Hi, my name's Debbie. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is December 8th of 2005. I have a sponsor. She's sitting in the front row. Her name's Mel. She got me in this mess, and and I have a home group, Drunks Only. I grew up in the Midwest. I did not grow up in a family where alcohol was involved. I had a nice Catholic upbringing. My father was a police officer. I was a middle child. I was kind of an ugly-looking kid, and I had glasses and a big perm and kind of funny teeth. And somehow when I discovered alcohol at 17, I got a lot better looking in my own mind, and I became very hooked on it. When I turned 18 and moved out of the house, I had been raised real strict Catholic, and certain things like sex and all that were going to lead you to hell. And once I discovered that, I decided I'd just have a lot of fun while I was here on earth. And I started drinking a lot. I moved out to California when I was 28 years old and got a job in restaurants. And the thing about working in restaurants and working nights in restaurants is, you know, I basically just got drunk, partied till 3 in the morning, and didn't have to do a whole lot. Even after I graduated from college, I went right back to restaurants because guess what? You could drink a lot. And I hung out with a lot of people who drank a lot, so I just assumed everybody drank like I did. It started to become a problem when I had blackouts. Some of my friends said, you know, you're drinking even more than us, and that's pretty bad when they're heavy drinkers. And I guess when I really started having a problem was about 12 years ago, and I'll explain what happened. I had a boyfriend, and he wasn't ready to commit, so he said, maybe you need to look around. I didn't look real far. I had a business partner I had started a business with, and I started sleeping with him. And I didn't know it, and found out that he was sleeping with my boyfriend's daughter at the same time. This is where it gets kind of Jerry Springer. Anyhow, he... This is what alcohol does for you. He got her pregnant. I was so freaked out. I told my boyfriend what was going on, and I lost my business partner, and I lost my boyfriend, which I'm in property management. It just meant to me that I'd start my own business and that nobody could stop me from drinking. So I'd try to make it into work, and I'd swear I wasn't going to drink. And by about 11 o'clock, I'd go to the liquor store, just two doors down. And for the last couple of years of my drinking, I bought the little individual wines, the little, you know, airport ones, because that was how I was going to control my drinking. I'd just buy two. And I would buy two, and I'd get back to the office, and I'd drink those two. And then it'd be about 12 o'clock, and I'd think, yeah, why have lunch? I'll just find another liquor store, because I didn't want them to know I was going back. And I'd buy two more. And, you know, it'd be about 1 o'clock, and I'd think, yeah, you know, day's kind of shot anyhow. Let's just get two more. So that's how my days went, and that's how my nights went. And I was living alone, so there was no one to really, you know, say anything too much about my drinking. You know, I was probably losing my business, but I wasn't smart enough to realize that. I would wake up sometimes, or come to, I guess you'd say, and I'd look down and I'd see an owner's number, and I'd think, I have no idea what I'd said to them. I have no idea what's going on, and I'd have to call them and try to ease my way back out to see, you know, what I'd been doing. And I decided I needed help, so I checked myself into a detox center, and I went through 6-day detox, and I came out. And I wish I could tell you I stayed sober since then, but I'm not one of those people. I'm the relapser, and there's a couple people sitting here that know what I went through. I'd get some periods of time sober. I did have a sponsor. I did have a home group. I did a lot of stupid things. I got a cold, and I bought a bottle of NyQuil and drank the whole thing, you know, and just, I didn't realize it, but I was getting buzzed. I was buying non-alcoholic beer when I first got sober by the case, the people at CVS when the guys, and I was drinking it like that, and the guy at CVS came around the corner, and he saw me one day, and he goes, oh, my God, this is why our, you know, our non-alcoholic beer sales have gone up 400%. You know, I really thought that was being sober. I was getting a lot of cosmetic surgeries, too, and I didn't realize in my mind that, you know, there were pain pills involved, and I'd never been a druggie, so I didn't think. And then my sponsor was sitting there, explained to me that taking one Vicodin every 4 hours isn't the same as taking four every one. And I had to change my sobriety date. I still remember that. And I just wasn't getting it. The thing I did do is I kept going to my meeting, Drunks Only. That was my home group. And as embarrassed as I was for all my relapses, because it took me, embarrassed as I was by all my relapses, I wanted to be sober more than I cared what you people thought of me, you know? And to be honest with you, no one ever judged me. You know, they were always real welcoming. They always said, keep coming back. They always said, you know, stick here until the miracle happens. And if I was going to say anything to anybody, I'd say, don't quit before the miracle happens. If I had given up, I wouldn't be standing here today. It did take me a second time in detox. I just couldn't get, I have more 90-day tokens than I could count. It took me a second time in detox because I just thought I need to break the cycle. So I got somebody to cover my business, and I checked in. I was actually going to check in for 30 days, and then, I don't know, the girl who was covering for me, she kept saying, everything's fine, everything's fine. And then, you know, 3 days into it, she's like, everything's okay. And about 6 days into it, she's going, well, we're hanging in there. And then I thought, so, you know, they told me, you know, in the program, you know, if you leave here, you may never get sober. And I don't know if it was despite him, but I know it's not just that, but I stayed sober from that day on. I blame it, or I don't blame it. I owe it to God. And somewhere in there, I surrendered. I just got trying to do it my way. I got tired of that. I started listening to my sponsor. I started doing everything that was asking me. And I still do that. And that's the only reason I'm standing up here. She was sitting next to me when the guy asked me to speak. And it's like, I don't do public speaking. But I just know that, you know what? Just do everything that they ask you in AA, and it'll help you to stay sober. What my life is like now, 3 years ago, I got proposed to for the first time in my life at 55 years old. No one had ever wanted to marry me before. Trust me on that. And actually, we were in the Caribbean when he proposed, and, you know, we're getting a little older, and he has a bad knee, and I honestly thought something was just wrong with his knee. And I mean, you still can see me. I just kept saying, oh my God, oh my God. And finally everybody in the restaurant just said, is she going to say yes? And I did say yes. And the part that you'll think is pretty ironic is the guy that I got married to 2 years ago is the same guy that I cheated on 11 years ago. And it was part of making amends. You know, I made amends to him. I made amends to my ex-business partner. When we got married in Las Vegas. I just wanted to do it there so everybody could keep busy doing other things and I didn't have to worry about them all. But anyhow, we had a really nice wedding. My family flew out. I had two bridesmaids, and one of them was, remember I told you that my business partner had gotten a girl pregnant? His 11-year-old daughter was one of the bridesmaids in my wedding. And my ex-business partner, who's now my ha-ha son-in-law, was there too. I wouldn't say we're the most... I wouldn't say we're the most functional family in the world, but you know what? I do owe it all to Alcoholics Anonymous. The other thing that I'm most proud of is, you know, my father was a police officer, I told you, and back when I was 28, I had gotten drunk one night, and I was just so belligerent. It was back before DUIs were quite so common, and they offered to take me downtown, and you know, they said, we'll either put you in jail or call your dad. Well, I asked for the jail cell, but they called my father instead. And I still remember the horror on his face. He came to get me at 3 a.m, and I'm screaming, police brutality, and just all over the place. And he had to pick up his drunk daughter. Well, you know what? He walked me down the aisle, and he's so proud of me. And if you ever ask him, you know, what he's most proud of, it isn't the fact that I own my own business. It isn't any of that. It's the fact that I'm sober. And I owe it all to you, and thank you. And I'm done.